On this week's issue of the Beer Coasters podcast, we hope you have a hoppy Father's Day with the Sierra Nevada Hoptimum, followed up by Mike talking about the Ruckus Brewing Hoptimus Prime, Toby drinking some of the Hermitage Hoptopia, and Chris drinking some of the Real Ale Lost Gold.
This is the best beer I've ever tasted.
Less beer is not what I wanted to hear.
Beer in one hand, smartphone in the other, you're never drinking alone.
The hops are off the charts.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in American craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. Actually, in between this week, I'm your host. This is Chris in Dallas, Texas, and joining me
is Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
I was going to ask, who is that? Who is that in the beginning there?
That's Beer Coaster Chris.
I haven't been gone that long. It's only been 2 weeks.
And this is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
So for this week's episode of the Beer Coasters podcast, we are talking about hoppiness. I wish it was pure hoppiness.
Super ultra mega hoppiness.
This is our Hop Head show. Yeah. To start out our show, we're going to drink for our fermentation conversation this week a little bit of Sierra Nevada's Hoptimum.
Nice.
And then we'll have a little bit of Father's Day themed hop topics to talk about. And then, Mike, what are you trying this week for your tasting flight?
For my tasting flight this week, I am trying Ruckus Brewing
Hoptimus Prime.
Nice. Toby?
I am trying Hermitage Brewing's Hoptopia.
Sweet. And I think I'm the only one this week that doesn't actually have hop in the name, which is disappointing, but whatever. I'm going with Real Ale's Lost Gold IPA from Real Ale Brewing.
Just for the show's sake, we'll call it Real Ale's Lost Hop Gold. How's that?
There we go. That'll work. Then we'll get into it. We got a little bit of backwash this week, right? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, quite a bit of backwash. Yep. Jeez. And then we'll run into the last call.
Boatload last week.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy backwash.
Yeah, you guys ready to get in to start drinking some beer? I know me and Toby have the Hoptimum that we're going to jump right into here.
I was not able to find the Hoptimum. I looked high and low and left and right and north and south and could not find it anywhere. So I'm going to just grab this. I have Sierra Nevada's, to stay with the theme, of course, I have their Northern Hemisphere Harvest, which I'm not going to review, but I'm just going to kind of sip along with Toby and Chris on this.
You just wanted to drink something.
It's true. I had a pre-show beer, and I'm going to have another beer, and then I'll have my tasting flight, and then I'll have a grand old time at Last Call.
Nice. So, as I said, we're drinking this year about a Hoptimum. It's a Imperial IPA, whole cone Imperial IPA from Sierra Nevada Brewing out of Chico, California. Their website is www.sierranevada.com. The ABV on this beer, 10.4. So it's a little...
Whoa.
Got a little kick to it. IBUs, 100 IBUs on this bad boy. For hops, they use the bittering hops, German Magnum, and then aroma hops, they use Simcoe and a new proprietary variety. Dry hopped with Simcoe and a new proprietary variety, and then they torpedo the hops with Citra and Chinook.
Dang.
Crazy. Torpedo, malts used to two. Yep. You guys know what torpedo is? I bet I know who knows what torpedo is.
Yeah, let's ask.
Beer Jogging Guy, what are torpedoing hops mean?
And now time for Craft Beer Jargon. For this week's Beer Jargon, the term is a torpedo. The name torpedo stems from an invention that Ken Grossman and the brewers at Sierra Nevada came up with several years ago. The hop torpedo is a cylindrical stainless steel vessel that was developed to harness the essential oils and resins in hops without extracting bitterness. The device essentially works like an espresso machine. A stainless steel filter basket is packed full of whole cone hops, loaded into the vessel, and sealed against pressure. The device is then placed in the fermentation cellars, where beer from the cylindrical fermenters is pushed down from the tanks through the pressurized column of hops and back into the fermenting tank. The flow of the beer out of the tanks into the torpedo and back into the fermenter can be controlled to extract different levels of flavor, aroma, and bitterness. Essentially, it is a new way of dry hopping that extracts all of the oily resin without the residual bitterness of the traditional method.
All right, we welcome back Beer Coaster Chris and the Beer Jargon Guy in one
that
show.
Guy knows sweet everything.
It's awesome. Malts used in this: two row pale, Golden Promise, Munich, and wheat.
Whoa, didn't know it
this
had
was
wheat.
A one time brew, brewed 1/1/11, or we're not brewed.
It came out, yeah.
Yeah, it was released. Interesting note, this was brewed by a group of hopheads and at the beer camp, right?
It was like a bunch of beer camp people, almost like they challenged Sierra Nevada to do this crazy super hopped beer.
Sweet.
Whole cone.
Beer rating of, so let me see. It's a really, really hoppy beer. 100 IBUs. What did Rate Beer give it?
100?
Not quite. Pretty damn close, though. 99 out of 100. Beer Advocate users give it a B+ and nothing from the bros. So without further ado, let's crack that.
Yeah, I was looking. It's funny because Mike was saying how he's heard nothing but good things about this. And yeah, it's the beer itself. I've heard nothing but good things as well, but a lot of people have been talking smack about Sierra Nevada doing this. They're saying that this is gimmicky.
Yeah.
They're saying like, oh, you know, they're straying from like what they normally do, and they're just doing this gimmicky type thing with the super hoppiness. And
well, they should have started that with the whole torpedo IPA. It's like, right, if that's not gimmicky, I don't know what is. Hey, let's take an old torpedo and
right.
I'm not stuff sure it with hops and filter beer through it.
I don't understand
it.
What they mean by gimmicky. I mean, Sierra Nevada has always been a fairly hoppy brewer.
Yeah, I think what they're... I know, and plenty of people have come back and like argued against that. It was just funny how I saw at a couple of different threads of responses to like articles on this, people have said... There have been a few people that have said something about how this is unlike Sierra Nevada, and it's almost like they're just falling into this whole like over hopping something like Stone does, or like somebody else says. It's just smack talk. That's
whatever. I
really
ain't complaining.
Oh yeah.
So mine's a fairly golden color.
Yeah.
I had huge head, like three fingers at least.
Yeah. I started off with about two. I'm down to about one.
Really big bubbles.
Looks great.
Very frothy. Yeah, it does. It nice and clear, nice and effervescent.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost as big as the head that we had on that. It was a beer that I had like half a glass of head, and we had just had to wait for it to dissipate. Took forever because it was really good head retention too.
Huge citrus notes.
Cotton candy, citrus.
Jealous.
Yeah, I can practically taste.
Oh, dude.
Lemon on the back of my throat just from the nose.
This is a nice bouquet, if you will.
Grapefruit, yeah.
There's even a little bit of that earthy stank coming through.
I love the earthy stank.
It's got a very bright character to the nose, though.
Put some earthy stank on that thing.
It's got a very bright character to the nose, I think.
Yeah. Even some right. pine. Hey.
All right, that's enough talking. I'm a drink.
Let's get stuck in.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Enough words.
start sipping.
Woo! Whoa.
There are some hops in that guy.
Now, is it straight bitter, or is it like, you know, when something gets really hoppy and they really kind of try to balance it out where it's got almost kind of a creamy sweetness? Or is it like...
It finishes on the bitter end, but it starts grapefruit, pine. There's a little bit of that like caramel maltiness.
Yeah, it's not as bitter as I expected it to be.
Yeah,
I mean, it's obviously not. At 100 IBUs, it's
very pretty sweet.
Freaking bitter. Yeah.
They really put probably a shitload of malt in there to balance everything out.
Yeah, there's a biscuit character in there.
Honey. Yeah. 10.4. Yeah, I could see that. This is definitely imperial. Like, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, it's got some character behind it.
Yeah, this is a big beer.
You guys pair it with anything?
Key lime pie.
Wow.
Very interesting.
I wasn't thinking dessert, but that sounds pretty good.
Well, that's your fault.
I was thinking like street tacos or like carnitas or something like that, or even fish tacos.
Yeah. Something that you would throw like a lime in.
Yeah.
So yeah, some street tacos or fish taco. Yeah,
some
for sure.
Cilantro.
Cilantro. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big cilantro fan, but I think that with all the big sweetness in this, the cilantro with that...
Well, the cilantro and that, lime, you know, kind of that combination is
and
good
lime,
too.
Yeah.
I'm not a big cilantro fan either, but you get that right combination together. It's all good.
This is one tasty guy.
It still is very uncomfortable for me to hear you guys say that. Just saying.
Oh, Mike, you're not...
Not that anyone cares, because I'm not reviewing it, but this Northern Hemisphere Harvest from Sierra Nevada is pretty damn good as well. It's a wet hop ale, and it's very nice.
Yeah, we don't care, Mike.
Yeah. All right. But I'm drinking. That's all that counts.
Aren't all hops pretty much wet once you put them in the beer?
That's true. So what's this whole dry hopping thing? I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I don't know.
You dry hop with some wet hops? And what does that do?
Discuss.
Let's ask the beer jargon guy. Yeah.
I think he left.
Did we just blow your mind?
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
And we're back.
Yes, we
with
is.
With Hop Topics. And for our Hop Topics this week, Toby, you found something, right?
Yeah, it was a cute little story on craftbeer.com. It's called Papa's Got a Brand New Beer. And I would just invite everybody to kind of go to our website, click on the link, check it out. The guy who wrote it is Jay Brooks. He's been writing about beer for like 20 years. He does stuff on the Brookston Beer Bulletin and other beer blogs and stuff. So he just wanted to talk about dads naming their kids after something that has to do with beer. He named his son Porter.
Nice. I thought about that. Actually, we thought pretty strongly about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the best one, I think, out of most of them.
And it's an actual name. Like, if you look in baby books, books, Porter's in there.
Yeah.
They also thought about naming him Porter. Oh, Brewer.
Yeah.
I don't think that one works as well, but Porter works really well. We had thought about, so I have two kids. I have a daughter and a son, and we had thought about Ipa for a girl. Nice. Not very long, but I still think that's a cool name.
Ipa. Nice. And in the article, they also talk about, you know, some famous brewers and what they named their kids. There's a story going around that there's a brewer from in the Midwest, and his last name was Brown, and he named his son Ethan Sebastian, which would make his initials ESB.
Nice.
They don't know if that's an urban legend or not.
I like that one. That's a little more kind of underground.
Yeah. Gino Acevedo from El Toro Brewing named his daughter Amber. Ken Grossman from Sierra Nevada Brewing named his daughter Sierra.
Well, there's a bunch. Amber or Abby would be a good one.
Yeah.
You know.
Matilda. Sophie.
Yeah.
Well, those are beers named after people as opposed to people named after beer.
Or, you know, Yeti, if you think your kid's gonna be hairy. Yeah. I don't know.
There's my son Yeti.
Yeti.
Look at those hands.
Nice.
Look at the size of those hands.
It's all about the fingers, baby. So one other thing we wanted to talk about here and give our listeners a little something extra on our hop topics this week is we wanted to talk about sort of good Father's Day gifts that we think would be good.
We're all fathers, by the way, just in case any of our listeners didn't know. So, yeah, that's why we're talking about Father's Day, because we want the gifts. That's why we're talking about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is what you should get us, all right?
So we'll go in order in least expensive to most expensive. So, Mike, you found one that was a little on the lower end.
Yes. I do have a lower end gift, and my gift is a book. It's the Brewmaster's Table, and it's Discovering the Pleasures of Real Beer with Real Food, and it's I believe written by Garrett Oliver of the brewmaster at Brooklyn Brewery. And
No. Master Brewer.
Brewmaster. Yeah. Oh, that's the same thing. You go to school for that. You could be a head brewer. You don't have to go to school for that, but a brewmaster is
If you're a master brewer, that means you have a degree. Right. You actually went to school.
Well, I'm a master baiter. But
brewmaster
is
like the same as head brewer.
Gotcha. Okay.
I met him out here.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yeah, he was at a grocery store that was doing a craft beer week here.
Wow, and he's there of all people. That's cool.
It was pretty cool.
This book's only like $12.
Yeah, it was very cool.
on Amazon. We've had actually a link to this book on our beer books section of the website, so you can check it out.
Cool. Toby, you had something?
Yeah, I actually found this at Bed Bath & Beyond, of all places, on their website. I don't think it's available in stores. I think it's on their website only. It's a Brewmaster's Collection Varietal Beer Glass Set by Mikasa. It's a set of four. It has it's one of each kind of different styles. There's a Weizenglass. There's a tulip glass. There's it looks like I don't know what you call that one. A chalice goblet almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's got a flat top and there's no, it doesn't come in at all. It's just kind of like a half circle.
It's very straight. Yeah, it's like a tulip without the
tulip without shape. The lip.
It's very right without the lip.
It's like a tulip without the lip.
Yeah. Anyway,
so it's a glass.
It's a glass.
I'll have the link to it on there. Yeah. Beercoasterspodcast.com. We'll have a link to it there.
Speaking of glasses, before Chris gets to his gift, for any beer drinker that's kind of into craft beer, pick up yourself one of these Sam Adams glasses. You can find it on the website. We'll have a link to the glass as well, I think. We'll do that. But this glass is really amazing. It's, you know, designed with the laser etching and the curves of this glass. It's just, it really does make a difference.
That's such a weird statement. It's such a weird statement for you to say this glass is amazing, but it really is true.
It's true. I mean, it is. I know. It's really awesome. It's crazy. Glass. And you think, okay, it's just a gimmick. Well, it's not. This glass really works. It is
There's
specifically
so much
designed
thought that went into
for beer. Yeah.
And when you drink out of it, you can tell. I mean, it is a different kind of, it sounds really cheesy to say it's a different kind of experience, but that's basically what it is.
I mean, you definitely kind of it. Yeah. I mean, just with everything being able for the aroma and the carbonation and all that stuff. I mean, all this stuff was all thought out and it's really an amazing beer glass. So pick one of those up too after
this
you get
this issue
your
of the Beer Coasters podcast brought to you by Boston Beer Company.
Oh, I wish. I wish it was.
Yeah, you guys have it. I don't. So I don't know exactly. I mean, you guys have raved about it. So I've always been curious.
That's right.
Try.
I think you were supposed to get some, and Chris sent me a couple. So I have I think I have three or four of them.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Send me one of those.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll wrap them up and send it to you.
So my recommendation for the Father's Day sort of beer gift is a little bit more on the pricey side. So I don't know if you guys have seen these different monthly clubs that you can join where they send you like whatever. So the one that I looked at was Craft Beer Club. It's at craftbeerclub.com. And you can go there and basically what they do is they hand select several different beers every month. They send you it's basically a 12 pack. It's three different beers, four different styles, three bottles of each every month, and then it comes with a newsletter describing all the different beers and sort of gives you lots of information on the beer in addition to the beers themselves. Now, it's a little bit pricey. Like 1 month will cost you like $38 roughly. So, you know, that's quite a bit of money for a 12 pack of beer.
Yeah.
But what it does is it gives the ability to people who don't normally drink beer and don't know a lot about it or just don't know where to get the beers a single stop to just kind of put the thinking on somebody else and say, all right, well, we'll just let them figure out how to get a wide variety of stuff and get it to them. Right. So a month, they have subscriptions anywhere from a month for about $40 to 12 months, which is about $430. But that's every month. And then they throw in a couple extra things. Like with the 12-month one, you get a bottle opener, some peanuts, and some beer tasting glasses. So
nice,
pretty cool stuff. I mean,
you get a free subscription to the Beer Coasters podcast. It comes out every week.
Yes,
that's right. That's what we should do. We should all join one of these and just every week or once a month do a show based on what they sent us.
Yeah, there you go. We call it the Original Beer Coasters Craft Beer Club.
Yeah, it's an idea.
We could sell out just like that.
That's right.
Speaking of,
come on, Goose Island.
On the
actually, I had a issue with you guys saying that last week.
What? The sellout award? Well,
no, because I'd like to be able to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'd like to believe that InBev, regardless of what their aspirations were in purchasing it, that they're smart enough business people to realize that the reason that places like Goose Island are so successful is because they've been left alone to develop their beers.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm not a fan of the big three. I don't drink their beers, but I don't think that their reason for buying small craft beer breweries is to push them out of the market. They want the money that generates.
Right.
And they're not going to get that money, Toby, if they go in there and start pushing their philosophies.
Me and Toby were talking off mic about that. I hope that they kind of keep everybody on board that was at Goose Island and the brewmaster or head brewer, whatever it is there, you know, can kind of have free reign like he did before. It'd be nice if, you know, similar to what Coors did to Blue Moon.
Is that what they're planning?
Or Blue Moon. Right. You know, let the brewmaster kind of have free reign, you know, do what you want to do and we'll reap the benefits.
If that happens, then the idea of InBev buying small breweries is actually a really good idea, because now you all of a sudden have money to throw at people that can innovate.
Yeah.
And I don't think the people that run those big companies are completely stupid. No. They understand. Keep in mind that they built their companies on consistency.
Yeah.
But they've also recognized that not everybody is all about the consistency. A lot of people are about the creativity that's built into the craft beer industry.
Or about or not they know that their beer is cold when they grab it out of the fridge. Yeah. Or start. out of the bottle in the right direction.
Every time I see one of those, you know, cold activated cans, I just roll my eyes about, really, that's the best thing about your beer is that it turns blue.
That is the best thing about their beer. That's the funny part. But the thing is there's a craft beer commercial, and I wish I could remember the name of the brewery, but the guy does a spoof on that where he's like, our new cold bottles, you touch the bottle, if it's cold, it's cold. You know, like it's really funny. Somebody I wish I had a link to it. So I'd send it up, but I'd have to see if I can dig it up.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a Colorado
brewery. Anybody listening to the show knows that you don't want your beer to be ice cold anyway.
That's true too. Right. Yeah.
You know, because then there's a reason that those beers have to be ice cold.
Yeah.
And it's so you freeze your taste buds before it goes down your throat. So you can't taste it.
Well, the colder it is, the less flavor you're going to get out of it anyway. So
that's all well and good. But as long as it's cold enough, that means I can't taste it.
Yeah.
So as long as it bypasses my taste buds on the way down, it's a good beer.
Yep. They're geniuses.
So.
I mean,
anyway, that was my little aside because I had listened to your guys' episode from last week and I heard you say that. And I want to keep an open mind into Goose Island specifically because Goose Island, I mean, is a hugely award winning brewery. I mean, they got all kinds of awards.
They got great stuff. I mean, and we're not knocking them. I mean, it was kind of said in jest, you know, just kind of as a joke about the sellout series.
Mm-hmm. Their Bourbon County series. Is awesome.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see. I just hope that they are able to do that, and it may not happen. You know, InBev may come in there and say, "Well, we just want to fill your bottles with Budweiser and call it a craft beer." But
yeah.
Anyway. In reference to Father's Day, somebody needs to go take care of something. All right, let's move on, guys.
All right.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, it's my turn to drink some beer. This is Mike from the East Coast. And this week I am trying Ruckus Brewing Company's
Optimus Prime.
So,
and what is Ruckus?
Is
it a new brewery?
I believe it is.
Well, here's the thing. This is the first time I have done Ruckus Brewing Company. They're out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And this was previously this recipe, this Optimus Prime along with a few others was recipes from a brewery called Legacy, which I'm not sure if I've done a beer from them before. I'd have to go check.
That sounds familiar.
I think I did. So these are basically the same. These are the same recipes. Legacy, basically, I'm not quite sure what happened. They closed. There is no more Legacy. And the only writing that says it, you know, it says that they left the market. Well, the master brewer, Mark Hummel, was previously with Legacy, and Ruckus Brewing Company hired Mark Hummel when they purchased the recipes as well. So I think they basically purchased him and Legacy's brewing recipes to kind of keep the consistency.
Aren't there laws against that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Buying people.
Yeah.
it happens every day. Anyway, this is now Ruckus Brewing Company. All the previous recipes from Legacy are all Ruckus Brewing property now. So their website is www.ruckusbrewing.com. This is a double IPA. The ABV on this beer is 9%, and the IBUs are 92. It's like beer Chris was saying earlier. Let's see their rate beer rating. Let's see, it's hoppy. It's a double IPA. Get an IBU of like 92.
I'm going to say 94.
94. You got it. Right on the nose.
I cheated.
Beer Advocate users rate this an A-, and the Alstrom Brothers a B+. Now, see, I took these ratings from Legacy, not Ruckus, because there's really not enough information there. So my ratings this week might be a little bit off. Anyway. It don't matter none. Not like they're going to write in and say, "Hey, you were wrong." All right, I'm going to crack it.
They just better watch out, man. Michael Bay might be coming knocking on their door saying, Excuse me, you've got too many letters in this that are similar to my movies.
Yeah, and it's all...
Never mind.
Comes out in just a couple weeks.
3D. I hear it's pretty awesome.
Okay, so
wait and see.
It is a rich kind of golden color, about a pinky finger of head. It's off-white on the nose. Very leafy, hoppy aroma.
Ooh, it's leafy.
It is leafy. There's a little bit of herbal something in there, too.
I've got a little bit of herbal something over here. I mean,
no, I'm sure you do. I'm going to take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah!
It's a double IPA. You got some funky...
At least they labeled it right.
...hops there. Yeah, it's got an herbal citrusy flavor. There's it dries right up at the end. I almost want to say there's a bit of like a hint of mintiness in there.
Leafy mintiness? Mint leaf?
That's a very interesting concept. Mint in a beer.
Yeah.
If you get a really... I think if you get a really citrusy...
I think I might be mistaking this more for like a pininess, though. It's just, it's a little different than when we usually get a piney hop. It just kind of has a different flavor to me. So, but it might be more of a pininess than a mint. I just got a whiff of honey in there, too. Let me take another sip.
Like a mojito beer.
I'm not really getting a... Mojito beer sounds good.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know about adding the lime in there, though. I guess if you just got a citrusy hop with the mint.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, if you got something better with a really citrusy hop.
Speaking of mojitos, I hear that Burn Notice is coming back.
Nice. Yep, it is too.
This for 9%, I'm not really getting the alcohol. I think it's pretty well balanced, in my opinion. It's got kind of a little bit of a honey biscuity flavor in there too, which is nice to kind of balance things out. If I were gonna pair this with something,
mojito?
I think this could stand up to like some buffalo chicken, you know, buffalo chicken fingers, something like that. Be pretty good with this beer. If you get a chance,
nice.
Check it out. It's the
Hoptimus Prime
from Ruckus Brewing Company.
What was the name again?
Ruckus.
No, the beer.
Hoptimus Prime.
Okay. Check.
Nice.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okie doke. This is Toby.
Okie doke.
In Las Vegas, I am trying the Hoptopia from Hermitage Brewing out of San Jose, California. Hermitage is under the umbrella of the Tide House Brewing Company. The Tide House has been around since 1987. They've got some sodas that they make. They've got it's pretty interesting, and they're all kind of under this umbrella of a bunch of different small breweries and contract brewers out of San Jose. If you go to hermitagebrewing.com, you can find out more information about Tide House and how they're all tied in.
That's got to be one big umbrella.
Another new brewery?
No, I've actually done Hermitage before, and I think the Hopportunity Knox that I did.
Oh yeah, I
remember that. It's not Hermitage, but it was it's with that same group of brewers.
Oh, they do Coastal Fog. I've seen those before.
Coastal Fog, all that stuff. And also when I did the that double chocolate stout for our Valentine's Day show, that guy who brewed that is also works with the Tide House people, so it's this big like conglomerate of brewers and stuff like that are all with this like Tide House Hermitage. Anyway, the Hoptopia that I have here is a double IPA. It comes in at 8% ABV. The ingredients, this is kind of weird. I guess from what I understand, they use the same ingredients in all of their beers, at least the Hermitage line of beers. They use Pacific Northwest, Germany, and Czech Republic hops. And the malts that they use are Klages, Two Row, and English Crystal.
The Klages.
Ratebeer gave this a 52 out of 100 with a C minus from the Beer Advocate users cracking it.
I like the look of the Maltopia. The Scotch Ale looks very nice.
Oh, heavy.
So it pours out.
It in my belly.
It almost. This is pretty much identical to the Hoptimum in color. There's not as much carbonation, but it's that same kind of golden, reddish, copper kind of color. I got about a film of head, and if you heard, I poured pretty aggressively, so not much head, just some ring around the edge there. But yeah, very ring pretty clear the
edge there.
On the nose. Ooh, there's some stank.
Oh yeah, hops are stanking this week.
Or bad stank.
It's not a bad stank.
Is it a hooba stank?
Oh, well, if it's stank, that means it stinks. If it stinks, then it's not that bad. But if it stanks, it's bad.
Yeah, it's a hooba stank. There's a...
Again, at this point, I don't know whether a hooba stank is a good stank or a bad stank.
Yeah.
There's this... I know I come up with the weirdest...
Yeah.
Smells and whatever. Once I said it smelled like
it smells like freaking broccoli, right?
Or I said it tasted like a sandwich. I know, yes. I've had that before. Yeah. I smell
this beer tastes like a sandwich.
Chicken broth.
All right.
This is weird.
That's but it. Then You're I also fired. Get,
but then I also pick up on a little bit of a piney, earthy hop.
Chicken broth. So what is it that you're smelling? It's some not kind of like a, is it a celery?
Yeah, okay. There's a little bit of salt, like maybe kind of
aroma.
See, I don't want to find those type of like vegetable and cardboard. I don't want to smell right. that stuff because that's that means bad. It's a bad beer. That means it's spoiled. But there is this funky
funky vegetable flavor.
aroma. So I haven't aroma. Taken a sip
oh,
yet.
Oh, you haven't taken a sip yet. Sorry, I should have known. I didn't even hear the music. I should have known.
Yeah, all right, I'm going to take a sip.
Listen for the music. And there it is.
Taking a sip, yeah.
That's what we were waiting for. Survey says, why are you rubbing it on your shoulder?
I'm scratching my elbow.
Oh.
And I'm thinking. Okay. I do that when I think, okay? Oh. Scratch my elbow.
But you're going to let your shoulder take a sip.
There's like a half and half. There's a sweetness.
It tastes like so
there's
half
cream
half.
In there.
That's
too.
Disgusting.
No, yeah. No cream. There's a sweetness, and then there's this weird kind of brothy. Seriously, like it's meaty. You know what I mean? Like it tastes like meat. Like not.
You
bologna.
Heard it here first, folks. Brothy on the Beer Coaster Beer Coasters podcast. It's brothy.
I'm going to have to take a few more sips. Like I'm hoping this will turn around because there is some niceness to it. There is like this little bit of sweet honey. There is a kind of piney hop that's coming through. But it's that funky maltiness, I think, that is getting kind of weird. I'm not really picking up on any alcohol. It doesn't feel like 8%, but coming from a 10.4% beer that I just finished.
Yeah, that's going to taste like a session beer to you.
Yeah. But there is definitely a funkiness. So if I was going to go with a food pairing, I know this sounds really weird, but this reminds me, if you guys have ever had chicken and a biscuit crackers.
Oh, yeah. Those are the best. Love those.
Oh, you guys
things.
Like those? Dude,
when I was in New
favorite.
Zealand, they had they had chicken chips. Potato chips, and we'd get those all the time. Chicken flavored.
Oh, dude!
Potato chips are so good.
It's like one of my favorite crackers of all time. Is chicken
Don't
and biscuit?
Chicken and biscuit is the bomb.
I can kind of taste chicken and a biscuit.
I
want to
go
beer.
Buy those right now. I want to pause and go buy chicken and biscuit crackers.
So I'll pair it with a chicken sandwich.
Chicken and a biscuit?
I won't go with chicken and a biscuit. I'll go with chicken sandwich because I want to throw some tomato and some mayo and some lettuce in there.
And pour the beer on for the brothy marinade.
Yeah, there you go. Just pour the beer on top and bake it. All right, so stay tuned for Last Call. I might have some different opinions on this beer. This is the Hoptopia from Hermitage Brewing out of San Jose, California.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
All right, I'm back. Nothing?
That's good, man.
No fanfare or...
Oh, you want those, the applause?
I thought those were whatever. Crickets, but here comes the applause, yeah.
There it is.
So, for this week's tasting flight, I'm trying the Real Ale Lost Gold IPA. This is from Real Ale Brewing out of Blanco, Texas. Their website is realalebrewing.com. The style of this beer is an IPA, as I said, ABV of 6.6%. IBUs of a 55, so in contrast to some of the other beers that we've talking about this week, this is more of a session IPA. The ingredients, they use American hops, German, Vienna, and English crystal malts. Rate beer rating of 96 out of 100, so even though the IBUs may not be as high, the rating is. Beer Advocate users give it a B+.
Wow, so our whole thing we've been saying is just...
Well, it could be bitter, you know. It could still be bitter if they.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Most of what we say is bullshit. But...
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Shh! And anybody, don't tell him.
Anybody that's been listening for any amount of time knows that. So, all right.
And we're talking.
So says Chris.
We're talking 2 minutes or 2 years. It doesn't matter.
That's right. Pour get a nice yellow. It's fairly cloudy. Lots of bubbles.
Lots of bubbles.
I got about a finger of fluffy white head.
Smells
on
like
the nose.
Gold.
Chicken and a biscuit, huh?
No. It's going to sound... And I guess I shouldn't know what this smells like, but it smells like pot.
Nice. Yeah.
It does have a very nice piney. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure hops are very closely related.
They are cousins.
Oh, they are. Yeah, they are.
Because that's what I seriously right away.
Yeah, I mean, some of those. When I first came to the West Coast and started having IPAs, that's totally what reminded me of that. Really, kind of, you know, that fresh hop smell does. It smells like marijuana.
Yeah. It's a very piney.
You have to say it like poppin'. Yeah.
Marijuana.
Yeah.
It smells really good though.
there was a beer that I had a few years back where I remember smelling it and going, dude, this smells like a bag of weed.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, I mean that's exactly what I get right off here. And you know, that's mostly sort of the really piney hop.
Yeah.
That's what I get from beers
that
like pure
resiny...
hoppiness. I kind of feel that way about beers like pure hoppiness and Pliny the Elder and stuff.
All right. Taking a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Tastes like a pot brownie. No, I'm just kidding.
Chocolatey?
I'm just kidding. No.
Chocolate hoppy goodness.
But yeah, those piney hops are there. This is a really well-balanced IPA. It's nice because I can take a nice big mouthful of it, and it's not super bitter. It's, you know, at 55 is not, you know, the 100 that we were dealing with earlier, but it's still 55 still fairly robust.
It's closer to that beer coaster Toby's 60, perfect 60 spot. yeah
that's
right.
I would call the hop level on this more of a not perfect but still awesome.
All right,
wow, beer coaster variety hops.
Yeah. I get a lot of bready, biscuity malt in it. Really kind of more than a biscuit, more like a cracker. Very, like a crisp sort of breadiness to it.
A crust.
Mm-hmm. It's a very tasty beer. I could really see throwing several of these back. in contrast to a lot of, you know, the West Coast IPAs that we tend to get, this has more of a piney hop versus a citrusy hop. So a little bit different than what I'm used to in an IPA. It's really good, though. If I was going to pair this with something, a really...
Chicken and a biscuit.
Oh, there we go. Problem solved. Like a really good wonton chicken salad.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Like a salad with kind of a ginger vinaigrette and the wonton noodles and some chicken. Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
I was telling Gina recently that you guys always come up with these like intricate, interesting dishes to go with your beer. And I'm always like, steak, sandwich, burger.
I'll tell you, man, though, it's funny that you say that, because I actually think that your best pairing is when you're pairing the Belgian stuff with Asian food. I really think that that's a very interesting pairing. And yeah, I know you do the steak and the sandwich and the salads and stuff too, but
you guys are very specific down to the vinaigrette. And I'm just like, yeah, chicken salad.
Yeah, good point. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, whatever.
So that's you're the just foodies. That's all.
Well, that's true.
Which is a good, you know, trait to have when you're drinking beer.
We usually give you the side dishes and everything, huh?
So that's the Real Ale Brewing Lost Gold IPA.
Gold.
You guys ready to get into some...
I love gold. Where's my gold?
You guys ready to get in some backwash?
Backswash? I want to be swashing some backs. Yes.
Backswash?
Swash those backs.
Swashbacklers.
Randar 68 says, "Dear Ontario, please remove head from rectum and start demanding beer that doesn't taste like piss water. P.S. It's okay to use hops as well."
It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet, tweet. Tweet of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
We should seriously make this a 2-hour show, just so everybody... Yes.
Like, there you go.
Oh,
just,
man.
One time.
There was that...
Is this what you wanted?
There was that one time.
2 hours.
The beer coasters sounded like they took forever to do that show. It feels like that for us sometimes, too.
But seriously, I'm so not complaining if people want more of us.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I think one of the reservations that we had was that people would get bored if the show was too long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if people are complaining that it's too short, then by all means.
All right. Let's
be careful what you wish for, listeners. Be careful.
That's right.
I can rant all night long if you really want that.
Did we even mention what section we're in right now?
And I can tell stories about
backwash.
You know, when I went to Ireland.
Yeah, we are in backwash right now.
Backseat of a car.
Yeah, we got that one.
And I'm sure your wife would appreciate it.
Well, I hope she did.
Hey, she was there.
I know she was. That's why I think she'd appreciate it.
All right. Well, let me get this rolling here. And our first piece of backwash comes from Michael. And this is off of Twitter. And he's at RedStarTN, as in Red Star, Tennessee. He says, "Hey, Beer Coaster Mike. Like, love the podcast. Great stuff. We have one coming out soon from Middle Tennessee. I would actually..."
Let us know.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to mention was let us know if you get it, when you get it coming out, what your, you know, where you are on iTunes or your website address, because I didn't get any of that information. So, yeah, let us know and we'll check out the podcast.
And we'll pass it along for sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
We'll spread the craft beer love. That's what we're here for.
It's all about the community.
Yep. Yeah, so Toby. That's it. Thanks.
And the next one comes from Tom.
Oh, we haven't heard from Tom for a while.
Tom in LA. He says, howdy, Beard Coasters. No, I haven't fallen off the face of the planet, just having a great time in the exploding craft beer scene in Los Angeles.
Howdy.
My most
Is he back in Texas?
It's seeping through a little bit still.
Oh. It's so, you know, it's his way of connecting with us. I see. Because he was originally Tom in Dallas. So, you know, in case we've forgotten.
Yep.
Yeah, that's his way of... Anyway, he says, my most recent count has 25 local craft breweries between Orange County and Ventura County.
Two dozen
beer bars with more than 20 taps. 3 years ago, there wasn't a single establishment I could call a beer bar and still respect myself for saying it. Last week, a new joint opened up called Beer Belly that features only draft beers and only local. Wow. Everything they pour is brewed within 50 miles of the bar. That's pretty awesome.
I was going to ask this just of Tom to see if he's had anything from Noble Ale Works yet. I can't remember if he had said that in the past. But
yeah, we mentioned that before. Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't even aware of that. When you mentioned it on the show, I think was the first that I had even heard about it.
He goes on to say, the newest brewery to open, El Segundo Brewing, is located...
I left my wallet there.
Yeah?
That's nice.
It's located less than 2 miles from my office. They just opened 3 weeks ago, and every beer bar around is pouring their first beer, the Blue House Pale Ale. The joint right across the street from the brewery, Rock and Brews, was the first to serve their beer, showcasing it at their local craft beer festival on June 5th. Which was comprised of two sessions, the second of which was an all-cask festival. 10 casks of very rare offerings from 6 LA and OC breweries. The day before, Collaboration featured their second pop-up beer garden, this time next to Blue Palms in Hollywood. Better. That's right, which served about 60 SoCal beers from 20 taps over the course of 7 hours. About a week ago, I also had the opportunity to hang out with Tim Mather, co-founder of Untappd. Awesome. He hosted an event at the Library Ale House in Venice for their millionth beer check-in. I met his fiance and a bunch of folks from his real job as a designer at a firm in Santa Monica. So Untappd actually contributed to me drinking socially. Tim showed me some cool stuff in the works on a prototype native app he was running on his iPhone. What I found most interesting is that Tim, who doesn't...
Where's the Android love?
I know.
What I found most interesting is that Tim, who doesn't even look old enough to drink, wasn't really a craft beer enthusiast until after he and Greg Avila had already built the app. Anyway, it's a crazy but fun world of craft beer here in L.A. I'll always envy those who live in the craft beer mecca of San Diego, but right now, Los Angeles is the place to be. Tom in L.A. Awesome.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds like L.A.'s got it. I mean, they're really up and coming as far as the craft beer scene goes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very nice. Hopefully he mentioned us to Untappd.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
If he didn't, then... Don't send us any more backwash. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
No. We always look forward and we're waiting in anticipation for Tom's backwash.
No, it's great. I really love our backwash. Really this is like one of my favorite sections of the show. So,
absolutely. Anyway. To know that people are listening and engaged, absolutely.
Almost as much as we enjoy drinking the beer on the show. Yes.
All right. Well, maybe that's my favorite section.
Yeah.
And then this is my second favorite section. And then maybe Last Call is like my third favorite section. And then,
I still like the tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tweet of the week.
I haven't done it in a while. Although I did it this week.
Yay! Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Our last bit of backwash, speaking of the craft beer mecca of San Diego, comes from Charlie in sunny San Diego.
Yay.
Charlie says, hey, Beer Coasters. I was able to try a men's room red ale this week from Elysian Brewery, which a friend of mine brought from Seattle. It has an ABV of 5.6% using Chinook and Cascade hops, along with Crystal Munich and nice. Carahel, Cara Red, and Caravine. Vienne? Caravine yeah. malts. Yeah.
Beer Coaster Charlie did his homework. Nice. Yeah.
There you go. I thought it was a decent, very drinkable red ale. There are better reds out there, but mainly it opened me up to Elysium Brewery Brewing since I had never heard of them before. Judging from their website, they have quite a lineup of craft beers. I haven't had any luck finding them in San Diego, but I'm going to keep looking. Perhaps Toby can find one of their interesting brews to try on the show. You've done Elysium before, haven't you?
Twice. So, nice. Beer Coaster Charlie, awesome. This is what I got to say to you. Go back and listen to the WTF show and the old, wise old heathen rebel bastard show, and you will have some Elysian beers to listen to.
I think that Elysian, I think Elysian and Stone are collaborating
soon.
Something like that. Or maybe it's Elysian and Sierra Nevada or something like that. They're anyway. Maybe. Yeah, look for Elysian's they're coming up. I mean they're out of Seattle. I actually went and drank at Elysian when I was in Seattle last summer, and they got some really good stuff, and they're hooked up with New Belgium. That's who it is. So okay. I think there's an Elysian New Belgium collaboration due to come out, something like that. I don't know. But you'll probably be seeing more of them in the coming years.
Yeah, and him talking about red ales. We don't see enough good red ales out there.
I like some reds. See
a lot of IPAs and stouts and porters and stuff, but we don't see enough reds. I like a good red.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I read a thing today which I totally disagree with, and it was a line that kind of stuck in my head, that they called the brown ale the accountant of craft beers. Like it was a boring, beer style. And I thought that's
brown ale?
I think that the reds and the browns and the ESBs are very underrated, very drinkable styles, and I hate to hear when people's like, oh, well, it's plain, or it doesn't have enough flavor or whatever. That they're just kind of missing the mark. They're missing out on some really good beers.
That's the thing, is a lot of people, especially in the United States, and a lot of people in the craft beer industry are looking, they look to people like Stone, and they look to people like, Dogfish Head, who are really pushing the boundaries of sort of the extreme brewing.
Yeah.
Right.
Where while Stone's my favorite brewery by far, and I really love Dogfish Head, and those, I really appreciate those pushing the boundary breweries. Yeah. There's a lot to be said for people that are just brewing really good, tasty beers,
Right.
And they may want to say that it's boring or whatever, but there's a lot of subtlety that goes into a really good red.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It doesn't have to be a palate wrecker in order for you to appreciate it.
No, and it's you don't want
little salt and pepper, You don't have to have some freaking strong-ass marinade, that you can't even taste
Right, you want something that is going to have subtlety in it, and that's going to have some complexity to it that you can enjoy on a with dinner, or with that's not going to ruin everything else that comes after it.
Right.
Yep.
or something that you want to get that you can enjoy several of during the course of the day, out on the lake or whatever, at the beach.
Chris said, out on the lake.
Awesome. Sorry, I'm in Texas. We don't have beaches here.
Yeah, you do. Down south, you got some beaches.
Not in Dallas, we don't.
Yeah, no beaches in Dallas.
No beaches in Dallas? Damn.
Don't be laughing. You ain't got no beaches in Vegas either.
Sure, we got the Mandalay Bay.
They're they're plastic.
They're plastic.
They have plastic beaches.
And fake plastic trees.
Wow, this whole show is just littered with music. Sound bites here and there.
That's right. So finishing up Charlie's backwash, he says, I also want to give a shout out to Clem Clem's Bottle House in San Diego. They have really expanded their beer selection over the last few years, and they're now my go-to store for craft beer. Most of their offerings have Beer Advocate ratings posted underneath, which is great when you're shopping for something new. I find stuff there that that I can't get anywhere else, especially from Colorado and the East Coast.
Nice.
Lastly, I gotta admit, I'm disappointed in the half-hour shows. I know you're trying to shorten them, but come on. Perhaps Beer Coaster Chris can add some content when he gets back. Cheers, Charlie. And yep. I think, if anything, I've proven this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can add some content.
Yeah.
You won't be disappointed in the length of this week's show. That's for sure.
Of course, all the backwash next week is going to be, can you please tell Chris to shut up?
But no, I wanted to mention Clem's Bottle House too. You know, Charlie mentioned that. That was a bottle shop that was pretty close to the neighborhood that I was in San Diego, and they really did have. I mean, they're a small place, but they really had a really good selection. And I'm sure now, yeah. Like it sounds like they've even expanded their selection even more, which is great.
Yeah, I was in there. I went in there last year, and I walked out with like $150 worth of stuff. That's that's how.
Yeah. And they're not, so the, you know, they're not the cheapest in town, but their selection is great.
They're not bad though. There's a couple other places that I used to swear by, and I went to them recently in San Diego, and I was like, these guys are way overpriced now. Yeah. Not Clem's, other places.
Yeah,
but yeah. If you're in the what is it, Kensington area in San Diego, yeah. Clem's Bottle Shop.
Last call.
All right. Pint ratings, Mike.
So, for my pint ratings this week, for the Sierra Nevada Optimum, I give an N.A.
Because an N.A.
Yes, it's non-applicable. I did not get it this week. For my tasting flight this week, for my Ruckus Brewing Company's
Optimus Prime.
This is a damn good double IPA, and it was cheap. It was like $5 for 22. I'm giving it I'm tossing between a 4 and a 4.5. I'm gonna give
I'll
it
be
a
generous. Four and a
four
half.
4.5.
There we go.
All right.
Yeah, because I'm all this time I thought Toby was the stingy one with pint ratings, and we find out at the end of the season that it was me. Yeah. So here you go, extra half a point. There you go.
Not perfect, but still awesome.
That's right. Just like us. Yeah, there you go. There's my pint rating.
Sweet.
Who's next?
Toby.
Sierra Nevada Optimum. This is one tasty guy. I mean, it is... It's a big beer, too. I mean, it's hoppy. It's got alcohol. It's imperial to the max. I think it's great, but for some reason, I can't go a full 5 pints. So I'm going to go 4.5. It's damn good. I really like... I mean, a lot...
What's the half a point hold of that? Like,
I don't know.
The reason?
It's not...
Is it too bitter? Is it not balanced enough?
No,
is it
I think it's pretty well balanced. I mean, it ended up being very, very sweet. It was more on the sweeter side for me, which isn't a bad thing. But I don't know. I can't tell you what it's missing, but... It's not 5 pinter, but it's really, really freaking good.
For me, I like those double IPAs as opposed to the regular IPAs, just because they have that bumped up malt character and it gets a little bit sweeter and creamier. I think it kind of helps.
It is pretty balanced. I mean, it goes both ways. I mean, you do have big malt and you do have big hops. I mean, I think it does lean a little more towards the hoppy side, but if you're looking for a kick your ass, big ass beer with lots of hops, this is the way to go. So I'm sticking with it. 4.5.
Nice. All right.
The Sweet. Hermitage Hoptopia. I got towards the bottom of the bottle and I got some sediment in the glass, so it kind of thickened it up a little bit. And I got some sweetness with it, but it still is a little too funky for me, and there's something strange about it that I really can't put my finger on. It lost a little bit of that brothiness that was there in the beginning. I think I'm gonna have to go with 2.5 on this one. It's just, I don't know, man. There's some weird I don't know. I don't think it's not spoiled, but it's there's something unbalanced about it. That's 2.5.
Sweet.
Yeah. Cool.
So for my pint ratings this week, with the Sierra Nevada Hoptimum, I'm right there with Toby. It's a great, great IPA. I'm going to give it 4.5 pints as well. And I'm holding back that half a pint because I same thing with Toby. It's a little sweet. I don't think it's balanced quite as well as it could be. It's really tasty. Yeah. It's just not... It's not perfect, but still awesome. I mean, it is the definition of our 4.5ers. So... The Lost Gold IPA from Real Ale Brewing Company. This is a really good session IPA. Just well balanced, nice and hoppy in all the right ways. I'm going to give this 4 pints. Just a really good. I mean, I could see picking up a 6-pack of this and going to the lake. Yeah, the lake. and chilling and drinking a 6-pack of this. So,
hey, I can yep. actually go to the lake here.
I can go to lakes
Mead,
here too.
Right over there. Yeah.
We got lakes here that's, too.
That's the body of water in Vegas is Lake Mead, so I can go to the lake.
The
you're not,
body
you're
of
not
water.
Not that far from Havasu either.
Yeah.
Body of water.
So don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Beer Coasters Pod, and Facebook and Untapped. Search for us in iTunes to subscribe and also at podcast.com.
Speaking of .coms, check out our .com. It's beercoasterspodcast.com. It's pretty cool. Our website's got a bunch of cool stuff. You can email us backwash@beercoastersapodcast.com. Remember? I just told you.
Just like Lee. Charlie and Tom this week.
Yeah. And you can leave audio backwash. It is 339-225-9274. That's 339-BACKWASH with no C. Click on the shop link on our website if you want some beer coaster swag, some shirts and steins and stickers and things. It's all there. Check it out.
Don't forget to tell your friends and tell your friends' friends. Thank you so much for listening this week and every week here at the Beer Coasters Podcast.
And now... a word from our sponsor.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. With happy hours from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. With an additional happy hour from Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's 50% off all appetizers and selective craft beers. Aces and Ales, wide variety of craft beer on draft and bottles. Make sure you stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com to print out your free pint coupon. That's Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, East Side, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
And don't forget to support your local brewery, brew pub, etc. As always, drink local.
If you're drinking local, don't drink and drive, because that's just dumb.
And if you're drinking local, you're drinking fresh.
That's right. But don't drink and drive because that's just dumb. And a reminder to all of our listeners, this is your podcast. We're just drinking in it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to us and all the other fathers out there.
I'm going to give a quick shout out to Brewing Some Fun.
Nice.
And the CT Beer Trail. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I want to give a shout out to Katie from... Beer 411 and also Red Star TN, which is Red Star Tennessee. That's Michael. And looking forward to hearing his podcast, so get back to us.
And as always, thanks to our backwash from Charlie and Tom in LA. We appreciate it, you guys. Thanks for listening.
Cheers again.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Put some earthy stank on that thing.
Could you dry hop with some wet hops? And what does that do?
Did we just blow your mind?
Where's my son Yeti? Look at those hands. Look at the size of those hands.
People listening at home won't get the full effect of that, but we enjoyed it.